Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read one verse, verse 13. Our subject this evening is Up the Ladder of Perfection from Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, Brother Ed crossed a lot of this material this morning that we're probably going to reiterate this evening. I had the message before Brother Ed taught the Sunday school class. And in fact, oddly enough, Brother Ed, it never once entered my mind the fact that you were going to be teaching on 1 Corinthians 13 when God gave me this message. And as soon as he got into the part about being perfect or not being perfect, and it struck me that this was the same subject for this evening. Well, that's the way the Holy Spirit works sometimes, and we're glad He does, because it reinforces one teacher's teachings by another teacher's teachings. But we find that this verse speaks of perfection, coming unto the perfect man, and we know that the process of sanctification, or God setting us apart to Himself, is continued during the entire present life that we have. And it's only completed when the subjects of that sanctification of God are perfectly fitted for the service and the enjoyments of heaven. That's when it's finished. In this work of the Spirit that He's got going on in the lives of every child of God that lives upon the earth, in this work, the resurrection of the body is included. And that's one great reason why it never gets finished until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and until the saints of God are completely fitted for heaven. So the Spirit is working toward making us complete or perfect in Christ and fashioning us like the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. He will fashion our new bodies likened to the glorious body of Christ. And since we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, the purposed work of grace that we're talking about here isn't completed until we appear in glory with our bodies like the glorious body of our Redeemer. Now, saints on earth, I believe everyone who stops and thinks about it a little while, every believer, longs for this perfect conformity. There's something inside of us that says, I want to be rid of this Adamic propensities that I have, this tendency to be carnal, this tendency to be subjected to sin, this tendency to do things that my old nature and an old carnal man that lives in me wants to do. I want to be rid of it, and I want to be rid of the infirmities and the trials and all of the things that accompany what I am and who I am. I believe every child of God on earth desires that. I believe every child of God on earth cries out in some kind of articulation the very words of the psalmist in Psalm 17:15, where he said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, talking to the Lord. That's what we want. This was the object of Paul's very, very earnest desire, the prize for which he put forth the effort that he spoke to us about. He refers to it in these words from Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 and 14. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be apprehended for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling was to get to that place where that we were fully perfected in Christ. To get to that place, having done all, and having stood while on earth, and having lived for Christ, and having made the effort to at last be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son with the new body, just like Jesus. And that's our wish. That's Paul's wish, every believer's wish. So we come to understand, because we know this truth, that the work of grace is not going to be completed then until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's what He's going to do. But it won't be perfected or completed until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. When He comes again, then we'll have all the completeness done that will be done, and we'll begin that journey through eternity with our Lord and Savior. We find that the last change then will be made at the translation of the saints and the resurrection of the dead, and it's going to fit us for the eternal service and the eternal enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God our Father in His high and holy place in heaven and later upon the new earth as we live with Him, worship and serve Him through eternity. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Then we shall be like Him." I love that verse. I probably quote that verse too much, but I love that verse. "Then shall we be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And I said a few weeks ago in a message that in the day that the Lord Jesus Christ splits the clouds of glory and appears to the earth, and we look up and see Him, all it's going to take is seeing Him as He is, and that will create a translation in us. Because this verse tells us that just the seeing of Him, unshielded from anything or by anything, no dark window to look through, nothing standing in the way of seeing Him as clearly as He is, when we see Him that way, we'll be like Him. It'll be an automatic translation. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, as Ed quoted this morning in the Sunday school lesson, the apostle says, "Now I know in part." Right now, I know in part. I just know a few things, some things, and I don't know them clearly. But then, when that time comes, when that moment of perfection comes, then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now, we always like to take that verse and say, that means that I'll know who my wife was. I'll know her as Diane. I'll know who my brothers that are in heaven are. I'll know who my mother is. And I'll know who Jesus is. And it does mean that. But it means more. I want you to think about this a minute, brothers and sisters. If you'll be known, if you will know as you are known, ask yourself this question and glorify the Lord in what follows in your thoughts, in your mind. If you shall know as you are known, how well does Christ know you today? Now think about it. It's not just talking about how much other saints of God up there know you and you'll know in that same degree. It's talking about you'll know like Christ knows you. You're going to know some things about yourself that you never learned down here. You're going to know some stuff about others that you never learned down here. Even your most intimate friends or spouse or brothers or sisters or mothers or dads, you're going to know things about them you were never able to learn down here, because the perfection has happened. That completion of who you are in Christ Jesus will be at its final step, and you will be able to know some things you can never know tied to earth in this robe of flesh down here. But until then, every saint has to say with the Apostle Paul, as he spoke in Philippians 3:12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." You can be automatically skeptical of any religion that claims that any saint of God ever gets perfect down here on earth. It just doesn't happen. We have religions that teach that. It just isn't so. We know it. Internally, our own witness tells us that. The witness of the Spirit of God. working in us tells us that. He makes us to recognize what we are. He does a great job of it. And praise be to God that He does, because without that guiding, supervising Spirit to remind us, we wouldn't stay humble like we need to stay humble. But He reminds us. But besides this final perfection that we'll enjoy when we're translated by the Lord or resurrected out of the grave, we find that there are stages in the perfection, the progress of perfection, that are part of being perfected, and in a subordinate sense, in a kind of secondary sense, are levels of perfection applied in the Bible to the saints of God. For instance, if you go in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, you read there about the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, if you think just a minute, and you're a good student of the Bible, you'll remind yourself that those just men made perfect are just spirits at the time the Bible's talking about them there. And yet they've been already called, said to be made perfect. That's a sense in which those souls have become perfected. They haven't got the new body yet, but they're in heaven, and they're just men made perfect by having passed to another level of accomplishment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon enough, they'll be completely perfect when the Lord comes back and gathers all of His saints together. Right now, the Bible still talks about them as being perfect. They're perfect in this sense. They're free from the body. From the body of death that housed them while here on earth. They're free from sin. They're free from all tribulations, all trials, all temptations. They're free from the sorrows of the world, and they are present with the Lord. And that's as near to perfection as you can get without having your new body, brothers and sisters. And that's where they are tonight. But even in this present life, even here and now, there are stages in the Christian's progress that seem to be called by the Bible perfection. Now, I want you to follow me on this and see if this isn't so. Now, I want to stop here just briefly, and I don't want to spend any time on this, but there's about 9 Greek words for perfect. And the references that we're going to use are the ones that are used when we know it means completely perfect or perfected in a spiritual sense. The word is teleos. There's 8 others that mean some kind of perfection. I won't detail them. But this one is about teleos. Being perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ, or perfect in some spiritual development characteristic. That's what this means. Now, we find that the Bible talks about people that get enlarged or increased in their knowledge of divine truth. And they grow to a level, they become mature warriors for the Lord as a result of being true students plus possibly teachers, at least learned individuals in the things of God. You'll find that in Hebrews 5 and 14. There, the word teleos, which is translated perfect in all the places we'll use it tonight for perfect, the word teleos was translated full age. There was a reason for that, because the contextual application of the word. But it still means the same thing that was translated perfect. It means that those fellows, or those people spoken of there, had come up to the age of perfection in the study of the word, in the growth in the word, in their enlarged knowledge of divine truth. So that's one case where there's a term called perfect applied to the saints of God while they're here on earth. Now, people also who show a consistent commitment to being upright, to practicing a godly life, are also called perfect in the Bible. And that's a stage of perfection that the Holy Spirit allows to be called perfect. Not the complete perfection that I just spoke to you about that happens at our translation or resurrection from the dead, but a perfection nevertheless, becoming perfect after a fashion and according to a certain spiritual rule. The Bible says in the book of Job, Job was perfect and upright, fearing God and eschewing evil. Now, in Christians, generally the term perfect appears to be applied, in at least in Paul's writings, to Christians as something that they aspire to and achieve a level of while here on earth. Listen to Paul in Philippians 3:15. Let us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And he was going on to talk about how you're supposed to think about the things of God. Let us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And so he's talking about saints of God living on earth, acting out their lives, being perfect. So there's a level of perfection, brothers and sisters, that we can aspire to and arrive at on earth. It is not complete perfection often preached about by heretical religions. But it is a level of completeness in the Lord. And by the way, the Greek word perfect carries with it not just the idea of how we understand perfect without a single solitary flaw. It not only carries that idea, but it carries the idea of completeness. And so if you keep that in mind, you realize that when the Lord's talking about somebody being perfect on earth, He's talking about somebody having a certain kind of completeness in a certain area of spiritual development or spiritual reality. Now, the same Paul that said that as many of us as are perfect was including himself in that, because he said us. But this same Paul declared plainly that he was not perfect. And so, though it seems contradictory, yet he's talking on the one hand about having a completeness in a spiritual arena. On the other hand, he's talking about having that completely and totally spiritually completed person that he was to be. So we see that we can have a level of completeness here on earth. He said concerning his own perfection, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I am carnal, soul under sin. That's what we say about ourselves. And yet, there is a level of perfection that we have when we've taken care of the things of God that we can claim, not with boldness or pride, but realize that we've grown to a fullness in the Lord. And we have a level of perfection. And you know something, brothers and sisters? Every time you get to a place in serving Christ where you have come to a full grasp of something by which you're able to truly magnify the Lord, you've attained a level of perfection in that particular spiritual category. That's what he's talking about. Now, we find that John says in 1 John, I believe it is, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we want to keep in mind that this perfection is not holiness perfection, as we Baptists often call it when we're referring to other denominations that teach the heresy, but it is a perfection in an area of spiritual development. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That pretty well summarizes how we need to handle this idea of perfection here on earth. Now, with these declarations of God's Word, though, about there being a level of perfection, the experience of Christians in all ages has agreed that, A, we are not perfect in the sense of being sinless and the sense of being fully and totally complete with everything that we need to begin enjoying the Lord in eternity. Christians all agree on that who have a clear understanding of what perfection in the Bible really means. We also agree that we have need every day for Jesus' prayer that He taught us in the book of Matthew and also in chapter 11 of the book of Luke when He said, "Forgive us our sins." This is the way you will pray. Forgive us our sins, among other things that He said. Now, in the precept, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," as Jesus directed us to do in Matthew 5:48, in that precept, I believe we're to take the term in the highest sense. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," challenges us to aspire to get there, however that the Holy Spirit will lead. To aspire and strive to be perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. To aspire and strive to get to a level where we are completely holy and without sin. We'll never get there in this life. But the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5:48 means exactly what it says, that we ought to aspire to it. We ought to strive to do it just because He's told us to do it. And every time I think about falling short of becoming getting to a level of perfection in my life, I think of Enoch. Now, I don't think Enoch was perfect in that he was totally sinless. It's an impossibility since Adam transferred to every one of us the genetic trait of being a sinner. It's impossible to be sinless. But there's something about perfection that we see in Enoch that sets a great example for us. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There must have been something about Enoch's level of holiness, level of holy behavior, that drew him so close to God that he just didn't have a place here on earth anymore. And that's what we need to aspire to. Because when we get to that level, brothers and sisters, we're really ready to go home at any time. Now, we can attain, as I said, to a perfect knowledge of God in this present life, but we can certainly follow after Him and strive to be like Jesus and strive to attain to a level of perfect likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ in holiness. And as we do that, something happens to us that's rehearsed or that's spoken about in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And that is that the Bible speaks there about this thing of being changed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory. And I believe that the more God's people strive to attain a level of holiness, to a level of sanctification, purposely strive to consecrate themselves to God, I believe the more they strive to do that, the more that they begin to look like little Christ. And that's, I believe, what the Bible's talking about there. Changed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory. So progress in the divine life is full of reward. It's full of encouragement. Even while we're fighting the good fight of faith and we're struggling hard here to keep our heads above water, so to speak, in regard to temptations and snares. Enduring all these struggles, there's a level of encouragement, a level of promise that the Lord gives to us when we try. I don't think children of God ever get any encouragement when they just lay down and give up. When they follow the crowd, when they just let their lives be whatever it falls out to be, and let every snare take them, or even some snare take them. I don't believe they have any level of encouragement or joy. But I believe when God's people try, when they try to be holy like Christ, God rewards them with a level of joy they never get any other time. So, we find that as we struggle, the Lord promises us grace to help in every struggle we endure. And that's an encouragement. And when we try, God promises us success in every effort that we put out. Not anything shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And we can expect success when we try to be faithful to the precepts of the Lord in our behavior as holy people of God. These are encouragements to us. And there ought to be enough encouragement to keep us going on. We ought to be like Paul and ever, always press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that we may be truly blessed of God, may be truly filled with joy, may be truly comforted by the Holy Spirit, may be truly guided into a spiritual life that has meaning, that has depth, that has strength in it. Now, Paul said it this way, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What is he saying to us? Since we've got promises from God that we'll be encouraged, that we'll be strengthened, that we'll be given of the Spirit of God to overcome, to be victorious, let us then set our path straight. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Whatever it is that our body, our minds are inclined to be tempted to do, whatever lust we are inclined to go after, let us find the path to cleanse ourselves from it and perfect that holiness that is that great attribute of Christ and of God. Let us perfect that holiness in the fear of God. You know, when nothing else will work to deter you from yielding to temptation, fear of God will. It really will. I've found that to be true in my life. I believe you've probably found it to be true in yours. I would rather, and I've prayed this prayer to God. I still pray it, probably every day. I would rather that God's love compel me to do His will than fear. But if God's love won't compel me, then let God teach me His fear that will compel me. There's nothing more glorious in the life of a child of God than for the Spirit of God to so make him conscious of the love of God for him that it drives him away from a path of temptation. That's a wonderful thing. And when it does it, any of you that experience that know what a shouting time it is to know that the Lord just showed you His love. And it was all that was needed to take you away from that moment of temptation. But if not, if that doesn't do it, think on the fear of God. And that will certainly bring you to the next step. There's one thing I want to read. We've got just a few more minutes. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, and that teaches us something else about this coming to perfection. Colossians 1 and verse 28. Paul's talking to the Colossians, or writing to the Colossians about his preaching that he's done about Christ. And he says, whom we preach, that is Christ we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I read that because I want to remind you, as one of the last points, that one of the greatest tools of God and one of the greatest influences that we can have in our lives to push us forward to perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ is studying and hearing the Word of God. That's what he's saying there. Read that again. He's saying, I preached unto you the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was careful about what I preached because my objective was this, to present every man perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that the Word of God is one thing that truly, truly helps children of God grow unto completion, unto maturity, grow to full growth in spiritual things as they live for Christ. Now, my last thought here is this. And I'll just leave you with this without too much comment. In regard to this thing of perfection and going forward, growing and maturing in the Lord, and becoming perfect in the arenas of God, and looking forward to that day of that final great launch that Christ will totally perfect us once and for all. Let me just admonish all of us that excusing ourselves about sin in our lives is inexcusable. We ought not to ever say, "Well, I'm just human. And I've been at this so long, it's just been something in my life so long that I can't shake it and I can't get rid of it. I know it's just part of me." We ought to never excuse ourselves for that. That's the one great deterrent that will keep us from going onward and upward up the ladder of perfection. If we excuse ourselves for sin in our lives, it'll undo the ongoing forward motion of the Spirit of God in leading us to higher ground. Glad you sung that song, brother. I'm pressing on the upward way, looking for that higher ground. May God give us the grace to do that and realize that the Holy Spirit of God is in the process, is doing a job of perfecting us in the Lord Jesus Christ day by day as we live. May He give you that aspiration to perfection that makes us commit ourselves, consecrate ourselves to growing in the purity of the Lord.